All right, God is good. God is good. This is a good book to read because it makes us, it forces us, it compels us to face our fears. And nobody likes to face fears. They don't like to look at bad things, negative things, difficult things. But, you know, things like that happen. A friend of our daughter's built a big home on the lake, worked 2 years on it, put in, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, $20,000 of furniture and everything. And, you know, built it right on the lake, and then, of course, the lakes in Texas are, you know, overflowing, and they didn't have insurance, and the whole thing was wiped out. So that's 2 years, every weekend, pouring in their time and energy and their dreams, and, you know, and it's all wiped out. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that shows the vanity of this world, is where you think, you worked hard. Shouldn't you be blessed? I mean, has anybody else done that? You know, you put a lot of energy into something, and then it's just gone. You know, it just didn't work out. Isn't that great? You invested so much, and then it's just gone in a moment. You're not laughing. You're not seeing the beauty of that. You know, it's, hey, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? What an attitude we have. You see, it comes, it goes, you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. You know, you just have to have a great attitude toward life, right? Now, you can only do that if you believe God is good. You could never do that if you thought, I know what happened. Did she go to church every Sunday? That's one of the first things I thought of. I bet she wasn't in church. You know, she's a Christian, but I bet she was focused more on the house, more on this world, you know, more on her own pleasures, you know, just kind of like, you know, love Jesus, but still the real focus of her life became consumed in that little, you know, weekend cottage thing, right? So, you know, God got her for that. He's just teaching her, hey, you better put me first. You know, don't fool around. You know, you don't, because she wasn't just an ordinary Christian. She was a serious one, kind of like us. Amen? Anybody ever thought of that? You know, man, you got to be careful with God. You don't just mess around with the guy. If he, you know, if you're going to say you're one of his serious ones, then you need to be vigilant. Praise God. Does that thought ever come to anybody here but me? You know, I don't know. That's the first thought I thought of. Is, well, I know. I bet she sinned. That is the theology of Job's friends. That's the theology of Job's friends. You know, that wouldn't have happened if you'd been right with God. That you don't suffer unless you've done something wrong. Suffering comes to bad people, right? Blessing and peace comes to good people. If America would just repent and turn around, God would bless us again. We'd be a great land again. Has anybody ever thought that kind of thought? Because otherwise you'll never understand the book of Job, and you'll never understand life, and you'll never understand God. Because that's what we all think by nature. Everybody by nature thinks that. God likes good people. He hates bad people. And he gets them. And when good things happen, we know it's because, you know, I've been pretty good. And we know we've done a few sins, but a few, not that many. And so everybody has that confidence that everything's going my way because God's good. God's good. And, you know, I'm not that good, but I'm not that bad. I'm just kind of regular. How many are just regular sinners? You're not unusual, kind of like egregious, over the edge, too often sinner. You sin sometimes. How many watch too much television? You know. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to get it. You know, that's all. You know, how many miss church too many times? You know, and you know, you intended to come. And you just don't, and so on and so on. So we all have that thought, and when something bad happens, we go, oh my God, I know what it is. I bet I know what it is. You know, I just haven't been attending to God. I do love him, but I just don't have time for the guy. I just don't have time for him. I got my own stuff. I should have read my Bible. I should have paid more attention to it. And so we all have that thought that if we're good, God will bless us. And if we're bad, then we get it. He'll let bad things happen to us. Now, we may not express that theology like Job's friends. I mean, they laid it right out. Job, I see a couple of things in your life. Physical pain. Physical pain. You're in physical pain. I mean, you're in pain. And I know why. You've sinned. That's why. And not only that, you're in psychological grief. Pain and grief. Pain and grief. Pain for the body, grief for the soul. And you know why you're suffering like that? Is because spiritually you're in trouble with God. Right? So we got the spirit, soul, and body thing down. You know, spiritually, spirit, that's the innermost part of us. Soul, that's the psychological part. And body, that's the physical, material part. And, you know, if you have in your body physical pain, it might be because you sinned up here. It must be a sin. Produce that physical pain. Everybody has this thought. Even if you know this is stupid theology, you still believe in it. You're just learning. And then if you have grief here, okay, so now I've got grief in my soul and pain in my body. And both of those are called suffering. It's probably because, I know why it is, it's probably because you've sinned up here. And Job just didn't buy that. Job would not buy that, even though it was obvious he did have physical pain. And he wanted to die. He begged God, please God, let me die. He wasn't accusing God. He was just saying, God, if you'd be merciful to me right now, just let me die. I have a funeral tomorrow of a lady. She was in that same condition. She lived her life, been a good Christian, took care of others, you know, people loved her, and so on and so forth, but she just didn't have any future and didn't see the point of living any longer, so just died. You know, God didn't take her. She was helping out. She was helping out. He didn't, you know, it wasn't God. You know, she's not that old. She's old, but not that old. No, exactly. So, but you know, she just didn't want to live any longer. And people around her, she had a husband, and, you know, housekeeper person, and you know, everything's going well. I mean, she's well off. Everything was good, but there was grief. There was grief in her life. There was grief in her life. But she was a Christian. But there was grief in her life, and there was, you know, physical pain. She was supposed to die a couple of years ago, cancer and all that kind of stuff. But she, you know, she was surviving and she was going along. But she didn't see any future. And when I asked her, well, do you want to live or die? She said, well, I really feel like I've, you know, I'm ready to go if people will kind of let me. What do you say, Pastor? Yeah, I'll let you. You can die. But don't die for the wrong reasons. Are you dying because you want to be nice to people? You want to help people out because you're a burden? You know, which is why I'm sure that played a huge role. You know, no particular good prospect of, you know, of ever walking again or, you know, I mean, I guess she could walk, but, you know, really getting out and, you know, having no cancer and stuff. So she was just looking forward to nothing. And, you know, burdening everyone around her because it's, you know, you got to take care of her and so on and so forth. So why live? You know, it's no more fun. You know, how long can you burden people? A lot of people are like that. I don't mind burdening people. It doesn't bother me. I've done it my whole life. I'm good at it. I'm good at it. I don't mind that people don't like my sins. Well, get over it. That's the way I am. Is anyone like me? Just cruel, nasty, selfish. You know, just not really worried about that Jesus had to die for me. Good. Good for him. I was glad he was willing, and I was willing to let him be willing. You know, it doesn't really hurt me that he got hurt on my behalf. I'm thankful for that. Hey, thanks, Jesus. I'm not at all like, oh, poor Jesus, I wish I could do it for him. I'm not like that at all. Is there anybody else like me? Kind of like glad he got it instead of me. I did wrong and he got the spanking. It's okay with me. It doesn't bother me a bit. Is, you know, well, Pastor, don't you feel bad about that? Not really. Did you see Mel Gibson's Passion? Yeah. Did you feel sorry for Jesus? Not really. Just glad it wasn't me. That's about it. I mean, I did not feel bad for the guy. I felt like, God, I couldn't take that. That's all I felt. But I really wasn't feeling sorry for him. It's more like, it's okay, you know. He was stronger than I am, that's for sure. First whip, I'd have been right there and fainted. You know, I wouldn't have endured it and, you know, kind of toughed it out. That was not a great virtue to me. I'd have just, I'd have just degenerated right off. I'm just not that strong or that, you know, I don't have any bravery in me at all. I'm just totally a weakling. I bought a motorcycle shop and with some people over in Fort Worth. And the guy said, you want to ride one of these? No, I don't want to. No, just get on it. You know, just ride it up and down the street. I don't want to. Why? Chicken. Just scared. You know, I don't want to get killed, hurt, maimed, you know, whatever. It just doesn't interest me at all. It's a nice bike. I don't care. You know, let somebody else ride it. Anybody can ride it. But I don't want to. Why? I'm a coward. I just said that. I'm a weakling and a coward. Look at me. I'm frail. You know, I'm not that. You know, I'm not that. I don't have any of that. From the time I've been a little kid, I've been like this, you know. And so it's a shame. It's a shame to say that. But the alternative of getting on that bike to prove I'm not is, you know, no. I'll just say it. Get that over with right away. I mean, don't even think about it. And we have a motorcycle church in our church over in Fort Worth, and we have a whole church full of motorcycle people. And they're always, you know, can we get you some leathers? Can we, you know, put you on a bike? And, you know, and it's like, nah, that is not, it's not tempting. It's not even close to tempting. Look at the freedom. I don't want it. I like the car with four wheels and, you know, I like safety. You like safety, Pam? You're like me. You're just like me. Safe and secure. You know, now when I was younger, I might have been stupid. I was. As a matter of fact, I was. And even now, there are some things I'll do that other people might consider risky, but I don't. But, you know, you just have to admit you have a certain breaking point. And when your body's in a lot of pain, I'm not a good sufferer. I am not good at suffering. I cry out. I yell, scream. You know, now the only thing I won't do is I won't take medicine. Peggy said, what's wrong? I got a headache. Just leave me alone. Get out. Just go away. No, here, take a Tylenol or whatever it is you take. No, I don't want that. Well, what do you want to suffer? Yeah, I'll do that. So I don't mind suffering. I just will complain while I'm doing it. That's all. I just go there and complain. Hello? Do y'all understand? Well, that was Job. Job had physical pain in his body, and he had psychological grief in his soul. Why? He lost all his kids. He lost all his money. Imagine losing everything. He was the richest guy. I mean, it's one thing to be poor and then, you know, you can't pay the rent. But this guy was wealthy, and now he lost everything. He lost everything. He had nothing left. And, you know, his body's in pain, and his soul is in grief. Body in pain, soul in grief. This kind of suffering is common. People do suffer these things. Maybe you've had that. Have you ever had any of these? Physical pain or psychological grief, sorrow, deep hurt, wounds? Come on. I mean, we've had these things, and it's suffering, and you might make a connection between those and God and say, you know, if my spirit were right, then it'd be better for my soul and better for my body. You know, if you do right, you're rewarded. If you do wrong, you're punished. And here's Job suffering incredible, excruciating, continuous pain. And his friend said, you know, look, Job, we're just trying to be helpful here. You've sinned, buddy. No, I haven't. I'm righteous, and God is doing this, though I'm righteous. And I don't know why. But I've asked him to kill me. He won't do it. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. I'm not saying he doesn't have the right to do what he wants. He can let me be in physical pain even though I'm righteous and I haven't done anything wrong. No, Job, you have done wrong. No, I haven't. I'm actually doing everything right. And at one time in my life, when I was younger, he blessed me beyond measure. I was a righteous man and I was blessed. I was physically in good health. I had my family all together. We went to church all the time and, you know, took care of everything. And I was rich as, you know, all get out. But now he's decided for some reason to put this on me. And if he isn't putting it, he's allowing it. In either case, I'm getting it. And I don't cotton to it. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it at all. And I'm griping and complaining, not to God. I'm griping and complaining that he just doesn't finish me off. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I don't deserve it. And I'm not saying I deserve, you know, to be blessed. I'm just simply saying I'm righteous. And if he was a rewarder of the righteous, I'm going to get a reward, but it's probably going to be future. It looks like temporary pain and suffering comes to all people. You've had it. You've had the pain in the physical body, and you've had the suffering in your soul. I mean, just when a friend turns on you, that's suffering right there. When you lose when your marriage goes sour, that's right there. There's pain right there. There's suffering right there. There's grief right there. There's sorrow. There's sadness. There's heaviness. And we're all acquainted with that. Well, I noticed something else, that Jesus himself suffered. I mean, he suffered physically and he suffered psychologically. So I'm going to draw a line right here. He suffered physically and psychologically. And that kind of suffering is common to all men, even if you're a faith teacher. Even if you're one that believes in health and wealth and, you know, relationships and all that stuff. And you're using God to keep those things. I'll tell you right now, I don't believe in that theology. I believe you could be righteous, right with God, and still suffer. And it isn't because of sin. It could be like Job said, I'm perfect, I'm righteous. I believe I'm righteous. I don't believe this is due to sin. I believe I'm right with God and right with man. I believe I'm righteous. And the righteous sometimes suffer. So the righteous can suffer in this world. Because of other wicked people, yes, but also because God allows it. Or even that he designs it. Who cares whether he allows it or designs it? It works out pretty much the same for you. God is allowing it. I mean, thanks. Or he actually is the guy, you know, putting it on you. Well, we know in the beginning of this book, it tells us in Job's case, that God had a hedge around him. A hedge of protection. And Job was completely protected. And the devil said to God, well, of course Job likes you. You have prospered him so that there's no grief in his soul and there's no pain in his body. Let me just touch his soul. Let me just touch his soul. Remember, there's the first little deal that he made with him. He said, go ahead. He'll curse you to your face. I'll tell you, take away his money. Go ahead. All right. And take away his kids, too. The thing that he cares about. Okay, go ahead. Imagine the devil and God making that bargain, that deal. And God says, yeah, go ahead, touch him. It won't affect him because he's a righteous man. I mean, it won't have any impact on him at all that bad things happen. No, go ahead. Do it. Just don't kill him. That's all. Just don't kill him. So the devil, just put him through the test like that. But that was God. God had to allow it. The devil had to get permit. He had to get a pink slip. He had to get a permission slip on that. Hey, can I do that? Yeah. Well, he'll curse you to your face. No, he won't. He's a righteous man. How many of you would be just like Job, you know, righteous? And as soon as it happened, he lost all his kids within an hour. He lost, you know, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, his whole kingdom just fell apart, lost all his money, all of his children. Everything was left except a griping wife. That's all he had left. That was all. And, you know, he was used to that. So it's no problem. He was okay with that. And so here he is. Yahoo! Hey, that baby looks cute. How old is that baby? 14 weeks. Yeah, perfect. Perfect, perfect. Yahoo! So, tell her not to listen to this message because it's about Job suffering. All right. So Job was in deep trouble because here he is now losing everything in 1 hour. Your life could change that quickly too. You know, don't think because everything's going well, it's because Texans are Christian. You know, because you're a sweet, nice person. Things just go well, and sometimes they just don't. And there's no explanation. You cannot explain it. And you know there's a God, and he's all-powerful and all-wise and all-good and all that kind of stuff, but still, there's no guarantees. How many know there's no guarantees that just because you're a good person, everything's going to go well? You can have trouble. Trouble comes to the good and the bad. It rains on the just and the unjust. You know, it's not that it's arbitrary, because God's not an arbitrary God. It's that, you know, he knows all about it, and he's okaying it. And so he sees a wicked guy, and he sometimes lets him go. And he sees a righteous guy, and he sometimes lets suffering come on him. You know, it's like, God, come on, where's the science of this? It doesn't even make sense. You should only harm bad people and bless good people if you're a fair God. So Job's friends had good theology. How many know that just seems right? Bad guys should get it. Good guys should be blessed, have peace. Everything should go well. But I've noticed, and I think some of you have noticed, sometimes good people suffer and bad people get away with murder. Has anybody ever noticed that? I mean, that is like unfair. God, what kind of a God are you? Get with it. You're on the side of good, aren't you? Aren't you against the bad and for the good? Well, do something then. You're letting bad people get away with murder. And good people suffer. That's happened to you, Sally. Has that happened once or twice, maybe? Yeah, that's happened. That's happened. Would you agree with that, Bill? She's innocent and sweet and pure. Well, roughly speaking. Roughly speaking. Well, but do you think those things have happened because she was a little bit not good?
No.
Well, you don't have to grin.
It's my brother.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, I know she does sin, but I don't believe these things have happened to her because she sinned. Do y'all? Okay. So we can understand Job's friends saying, it doesn't seem right that a good God who's all-wise and all-powerful, I mean, he controls everything, he wouldn't, like, bless his people. He even says he blesses his people. But wait a minute. Maybe he's talking spiritually. He's talking spiritually. Maybe he means, I'll bless you up here, but downstairs, you know, in other words, God will bless the righteous kind of like eternally. Kind of like, what good is that in the future? How about a little down payment now? How about a little, you know, down payment? I mean, you know, if you're going to bless me in the future, wouldn't it be good if you started a little bit now? Kind of a little hint at it? I mean, you know that I don't want to be blessed in the future. I'd like to have a little bit of it now. In fact, quite a bit. Right? But I hate to have the idea that I could be righteous and be blessed in the future, but in this world, full of grief and full of pain. I just don't know. That does not seem to me a good deal. That does not seem a good deal to me. So you can see how Job's friends are absolutely correct. Job's friends have got it figured out. Pain in the physical body, physical pain, is no good. Grief in the soul, heaviness, sadness in the soul is no good. And what good is it to have a God that'll bless you in the future if he won't bless you in the present? Now, his reputation is that he always blesses the righteous. And yet, look at here. He always blesses, but what's this? Well, he blesses you spiritually. Ah, goody, goody for that. I mean, I'd like to have some physical blessing. How many would like to have a little physical blessing? I just don't want spiritual, eternal, next time around. I don't want to just go through hell down here and say it was okay because of the future. Y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I hate that kind of God. I want a God that'll come through now. Hello? Well, that was Job's question there, and his friends had the answer. Job, all you got to do, you could stop all this right now. You could stop it right now. All you got to do is confess your sin. I tell you what, your body would start to heal. You know, your family relationships would start to work, and you'd probably get your money back. Man, I'd have taken a deal like that. That's good theology. All you got to do is admit you're the one. You got to do something. You've got to do something. So the only thing left to do, since, you know, you can't heal yourself and you can't get rid of the pain and the grief and everything, the only thing to do is confess to God. God, I guess I'm not righteous and I need to do something. What do you want me to do? I mean, isn't that a good religion that would give you something to do? Yeah, but what is it that you can do that will get you back on the right side of God to get the health and the wealth and the blessings and all that stuff? I mean, he did everything already. Well, what more can he do? And Job said, no, I'm not going to do anything. I refuse to do anything to get on the right side of God. I'm already on the right side of God because I know I didn't do anything wrong. And even if I did something wrong, I know that God forgives me. So if I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. So I'm not going to clean up and I'm not going to change and I'm not going to do anything. How many know that? That doesn't sound right. Because you know there's pressure on you to clean up. How many know that if you just cleaned up, things would go better? Well, apparently God doesn't agree with you. And certainly Job didn't agree. And Jesus didn't agree. Because Jesus didn't need to clean up anything. And yet he suffered. And he had pain. And he had grief. This is a tough book. Get a hold of it. It'll bless you. You can face this fear. This is the fear that everybody has. Everybody's got this fear. What if I do right and still things go wrong? I tell you, we resent that. There's a deep resentment in us that bad people who do nothing right actually do rather well. And here I am trying to mind my P's and my Q's, whatever those are, and I'm trying to mind them. You know what they are, don't you? Anybody know what P's and Q's are? Huh? Pens and quills? Nope. Does anybody know what P's and Q's are? Who said that? Dennis, that's correct.
What are they?
Pints and quarts. Yeah. P's and Q's. If you just mind your pints and quarts, and just take care of the things, you know, the little things. Just take care of the little pints and quarts. Don't worry about the gallons and the, you know, 55-gallon barrels. Just, you know, be faithful in the small things like that. Just mind your P's and Q's. Behave yourself, in other words. Do it right in the little things. That's what they say. Parents say that to their kids. Now, you mind your P's and Q's. A little kid doesn't even know what a P is. Or he just thinks he's not supposed to pee. He doesn't know. What's a P? So, there's something wrong here that all of us have, and that's why we're dwelling on this for one whole year, on the sufferings of Job. Because if you ever get a hold of this, you'll be free. That God is good. And he's all good, and he's only good, and he's all wise, and he's all powerful, and he's all everything. And he's totally for you. And even though there's pain in your life, and even though there's suffering in your life, don't worry about it. Yes, there's grief in your soul, and yes, it's normal. It is not abnormal to have grief in your soul. Every once in a while, you get heavy over something. How many, don't you have that every once a month, or once a week, or once a day, or something? Where you just kind of get sad over something. You're not smiling all the time, are you? No, there are just times when you get down and like, you know, and you just want to give up or gripe or strike out at somebody. This is normal. It's normal. It happens to everybody. Now, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus actually was always praising God, always enduring, and always, you know, on top. You know, it's okay. Even when he was suffering. Remember when he was suffering on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what. I mean, just thinking of others at that moment, I would have been saying, Father, get these guys and I'm going to do it. You know, I would have been ticked off. I'd have been mad. I'd have said, God, get down here right now. Give me some angels. I'm going to wipe these Romans off the face of the earth. You know, imagine the guy could have called on legions of angels. It's thousands of them. I would have done it. I'd have pressed that button. Bing, bing. Right now, you know, I want my stuff. And those nails that have come out of my hands like, you know, bullets. You know, then I got off that cross and I'd have got to kill them. Because I get vengeful at times. I don't know about y'all. I get vengeful at times. I want to get even. Does anybody? I'm not going to take more than, you know, what I want to at least get what's right.
I would have at least gone back to Pontius Pilate and said, nah, nah, nah,
nah, nah. Yeah, right, right. So, it's in all of us. It's in all of us. But God is a good God. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's wonderful. You couldn't have a better God. He's the real God. And yet, he allows his righteous people, his holy people, not the bad guys, the righteous people sometimes to suffer while the bad guys go free. And it looks like the bad guys win more times than the good guys. Does anybody else notice that? I mean, just on average, it looks like people that cheat. I used to be one of these. And people that cheat and lie and steal and so on get away with murder. And I did. I'll have to say, I did. I enjoyed sin. I don't know. Most Christians don't, but I wasn't a Christian, so I did. I actually liked sinning. I liked cheating people. I liked lying. I liked deceiving. I liked cheating on tests. I liked, you know, taking people's money. I would just steal it. I'd do all kinds. I won't tell you all the things I did, but I had no conscience at all. I liked doing it. I was proud of myself. I practiced. I stood in front of the mirror. I had no guilt at all on me. Do you all understand? And I got away with it. I only got caught one time. And even then, I knew what to do, and I got away with murder even then. I should have gone to prison or at least been kicked out of school or something or other. But nothing ever happened to me because I went to a Christian school, and they forgave me. And I was so glad because I actually deliberately went to a Christian school because I'd heard that of Christians. I'd heard that they'll forgive you if you do wrong. And that just seemed stupid to me. So that's why I went there. I actually went there deliberately because of that reason. Because I knew I was a liar. And I knew I was a thief. And I knew I was a deceiver. I knew I was a con artist. I knew I was a criminal. And I liked being that. I enjoyed it. I was quite happy with myself. I was proud of myself. Now, I'm a sappy Christian, and people can do me in, and I don't do anything about it. It's funny. Now, I don't care about the pain and the grief and all that kind of stuff. I don't really care about my circumstances. I don't care if people like me or don't like me. I just don't care. They're just being like I used to be. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. It does not bother me. Why? I'm in love. Because of my spiritual, see, I never had a spiritual at all. I wasn't even a good moral person, let alone spiritual. I was completely immoral, completely physical, material, just for me, selfish person. And yet I did well. I actually prospered. I did well. I mean, of course you're going to prosper. Like if I needed gas, I would just go to the, I was a electrician. And so I had the key to the shop. So I just go there, pump out the gas. You have my friends from high school all come, you know. They loved me. They thought it was great. Free gas. Because I had the key. And I could do pretty much what I wanted. And I just, whenever I needed something, I just stole it. I just took it. No conscience at all. I was proud. I was proud of it. Hey, I know where we can get stuff. And then if I wanted to do somebody's home, because I was an electrician, I could wire a home. And I just go and steal all the pipe and all the, you know, receptacles and the switch plates and everything. I just steal it all and then go and do somebody's house for free. Didn't cost me anything because the big company supplied it. How many of you can steal from corporations as long as you don't steal from your friends? You can steal from a corporation because they got a lot of money. They can afford it. So I did it with impunity. In other words, I wasn't at all worried. Man, It's a little problem. It's a little problem. It'll be solved. Don't worry about it. It'll be solved. It'll be taken care of. Mom, see to that. Just take care of that. He has a problem. So, you know, you can live a bad, evil life and actually get through life rather well. And here are other people doing all the right things, caring for people, trying to be conscientious, working hard, you know, just going to church. You know, you're just doing everything right, and things can just go horribly for you. You know, Why do we deserve it? We've been good people. Well, I'll tell you, there's no connection. You can be righteous with God and still suffer in this world and have circumstances go against you. How many know that's true? In other words, you're kind of a victim of circumstances. How many have experienced that? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I'm a Christian, and this is happening. You know, why is my marriage in trouble? Why is my business not working? Why is my health, you know, why am I under stress as a Christian? See? So that all can happen. So just accept this. I mean, there's a theology out there that I don't agree with that says, you know, if you're right with God, everything will go well. Well, I don't agree with that. I think if you're wrong with God, sometimes things go well. And I think if you're right with God, sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. You can't figure it out. There's no science to it. There's no, like, figuring. Oh, okay, I'll read my Bible. Okay, I'll put the scripture on the refrigerator. Okay, I'll memorize scripture. I'll sing all the time, and that'll make me better. It doesn't. It doesn't. You just do it because it's right. But you still suffer anyway. In fact, it's like gold. If you're gold, now if you were a pile of dirt, this wouldn't work. But if you're gold, he'll put you in the fire just to test you and make you even more pure. I mean, I'm already gold. Why does he have to refine me to 99.999 purity? I mean, you know that when they make gold, they have to send it into the furnace and burn off all the dross. But they leave a little bit, otherwise it wouldn't be yellow. There'd be no yellow in the gold. You wouldn't even know it was gold. You'd think it was glass. If they ever purified gold, it'd be like pure glass. It'd be like crystal. Did you all know that? It'd be absolutely pure, so they don't make absolutely pure gold. Not because they can't, but because then it would be white and nobody would know it was anything but glass. Are you familiar with that? So all they got, 1.1, 0.00, you know what? That's all. Just that little bit. 99.999, just that 10001, that's it. That's the gold. That's what makes gold look like gold. But how many know that in heaven, the streets will be paved with gold, but they're transparent as glass? Figure it. I mean, they don't look gold. You can't tell gold in heaven. Now, still, when I draw heaven, I always take out the gold crayon because I know that it's supposed to be gold. But God is pure, so it'll probably be like white, so there's no point in even painting the picture because everything will be pure white. Y'all see it? All right, now, here's Job. He's a righteous guy, and he's got pain and grief, and they say, that's because you sinned, and he said, no, I'm righteous. I'm suffering because I'm righteous. But I think Job is right because Jesus was a righteous guy, and he suffered pain, physical pain, and he suffered psychological grief. He was heavy in his soul. He even sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? And he was grieved. He was grieved, not because people were hurting him. He was grieved because he was going to be separated now from his friends. That was a pain to him. That's psychological pain. Physical pain, yeah, he was going to get that too from his enemies. But his friends, he didn't want to leave them. Jesus liked us. That's amazing. So if you're right with God, you can actually have this, but you never know. You might actually, things might go well. And they do sometimes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with my life right now particularly. There's some small things here and there, but basically it's a great life. And I have a great attitude. But what if things started to go bad? What if all of a sudden, you know, awful, terrible things would happen? I mean, in theory, I'd rejoice. But in practice, I might get ticked. You know, you just never know when I'll revert back to my old nature. I'm not reliable. So I give you that warning. I mean, when you call me at 3 in the morning, I'll tell you what, I'm not praising the Lord, even though from the bed all the way out to the kitchen phone, that's why I don't have one in the bedroom, because you'd find out what I was really like. I change, I alter on the way out, and I start to say things like this. This is a blessing. Otherwise, when I'd answer the phone, what? Who is this? You know, I mean, I am not in a good mood at 3 in the morning to answer that phone with joy. But by the time I get down the hallway and stumble into the kitchen and I'm thinking all these bad thoughts, and then the Lord talks to me, Jim, all things work together for the good. Yeah, no, this is for the good. Okay. And by the time I answer the phone, hi, praise the Lord, I'm glad you called. You know. But that is a complete lie to what I was feeling and thinking and wanting. I wanted to kill that person. I wanted, you know, whatever it is. It can only be bad news. No one can call you at 3 in the morning with good news. I mean, know that. You just don't get those kind of calls. Hey, you've just won the lottery. No, you're not going to get that call. That's called to bless you, you know. They're calling to swear at you or tell you something awful has just happened or whatever. Not a good call. And so I'm never happy. When that phone rings like that, I hate it every time. But just most of all, I just want to sleep. I hate it that somebody wants to wake me up and like, hey, have a little respect. Right? So you can't figure it because God will take his righteous and he'll let them be abused sometimes. But it's not spiritual. You see, physical pain doesn't touch my spirit. Psychological grief doesn't touch my spirit. Do you see that? You got to make a division here between soul and spirit. The Word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder, dividing in two between soul and spirit. You see, I'm here, okay, I'm here, not okay. No big deal, because I divide between soul and spirit. When bad things happen down here, I praise the Lord. When good things happen down here, I praise the Lord. In other words, I praise the Lord all times. Isn't that what the Bible says? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm just going to praise the Lord all times. And I actually am pretty good at this. I don't know. There's probably some things that could happen that would make me change on that. I'm not making any promises. I'm just saying, I've really done this for 30 years or more. Praise God in everything. I just praise God. Something awful happens. Like I say, it might take me a few seconds, but I'll get it. And I'll go, oh, well, praise the Lord. Well, okay, well, hallelujah. Well, God is good, you know. And I'll say it in faith, kind of. Meaning, I don't really mean this. I mean, I don't mean it physically or psychologically, but I do mean it spiritually. I know that's true. I know that God is good, and I know that everything is working together for the good of them that love the Lord. I know that. So I've just begun to speak that way as though I already were in heaven, even though I ain't. Right? I'll just go against my natural thinking and feeling and wanting and desires and everything. I'll just go against that and say, no, I love you. No, praise the Lord, everything's good. You know, and I'll just do that. Is anybody else like that? And pretty soon after you get used to doing that, it starts to work. I mean, you realize, well, that's a better way to live. I'm not going to lose my faith. Well, Job wasn't quite there. He was still at the stage of, because of these two things, I want to die. He wasn't at the stage of saying, whether I live or whether I die, I know that my redeemer is. I don't care about this. I'm not even going to focus on it. It's hard not to focus on sickness when you're sick. I've always thought,
you know, if I ever got sick, I would, you know, just praise the Lord and be strong and so on and so forth. But when you get sick, you know, you're just moaning and groaning and just laying there. And I don't have any faith at all. I remember one time I was in Brussels or someplace, and the airplane had landed, and I'd eaten fish on the plane, and it was raw or something was wrong with it. They'd waited too long in Douala, down in Togo or wherever it is. And you know, and it's like, I was sick. It's called food poisoning, but I didn't know what food poisoning was. But I now knew. And I was so sick, I called Peg, and I had to crawl to the phone. And I realized, I'm not even going to get on the plane. I mean, I'm sick. Sick as a dog, I'm sick. Peg, I think I'm dying. I am, I'm dying, you know. And you know, she didn't understand it or anything like that. It's, well, you know, just go to the doctor. Just go to the doctor. You know, I'm sick. I just said I'm sick. You know, I'm dying, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. That we had a guy die over there of malaria. This the three-day kind. It goes right to the brain in 3 days. Boom. He was dead. It right in front of my eyes. I saw the guy die. Just like, oh, my God. This is happening to me. I got three-day malaria. This is the third day. I'm dead. You know. Well, yeah, so I was petrified with fear physically. And I couldn't praise the Lord. I wasn't at all excited. God wasn't coming through at all. God, heal me. I hate you. I mean, I just threw that theology out quick. So I was just there to die. You know, and I didn't know, you know, what was I going to do? All I could think of was get home. And they wouldn't let me on the plane.
There's no way. They don't let you on the plane like that because the plane would have to take off and then come back or something. So they don't let you on the plane. Let me go home. And they said, let me inject you with this and that. No, I don't want all that stuff. Just let me die. You know, just get me home. And they wouldn't do it. So, I mean, they have their rules and regulations. But I lived. I lived because I was righteous. No, it wasn't because I was righteous. I don't know why God did it. Thank you, Jesus. But I didn't have a good theology. You know, I mean, when you get in that sick situation, you don't have a good theology. I don't care what your theology is. It's not working. Because the only thing you can think of is, you know, I hate, or I'm mad, or get me out of this, or whatever. I'm not thinking of heaven at all. I'm just thinking of earth. Anybody like me? Is anybody like me? Like me? It's pitiful, pathetic, but is there anybody like me? Yeah. When bad things happen, you know what your theology is, but you just put it on the back burner for right then. I'll be back to you later. And right now, I'm just mad. I'm just hurt. I'm just in pain, you know, whatever. And so Job was saying to God, God, just kill me. I know I'm righteous. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I'll be blessed in the future. Could you just take care of my present right now and let me die? And boy, I'll tell you what, that is, has anybody ever, you know, experienced that where you just thought, I just can't live another day. This is it. It's it. I don't want it. I'm not going to accept it. I can't take it. And I'm through. I'm going to divorce. I'm going to, you know, leave. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to do something. Has anybody ever gotten to that point? Yeah. You just wanted to give up. You know, kind of, it's not worth it. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'll go to heaven. And God will have to forgive me because right now I'm in a bad mood. Has anybody ever been like that? Anybody? One, two, three, four. Okay, all right. Just wanted to know that I'm in the right group. It's not Fort Worth. This is Dallas. Fort Worth, they're phony over there, but Dallas tells the truth. All right. Now, Job was learning something here. Because Job, even though he's perfect in his life, religiously good, and sort of from a superficial point of view, but the truth is he had a fear in him. What if I'm righteous and do good and a bad thing happens? He had that little fear. It's a little bitty fear. He never really looked closely at it, but he had that fear in the back of his mind. What if I sacrifice every week, give to my children, take care of everything, do everything right, and then God, in his power and everything, just lets bad things happen to me? And he had that fear. Does anybody here have that fear? Yeah. It's amazing. You could have that fear that I do everything right, and yet God won't come through. I'll tell you what that is. That's a picture of God. Do you believe God really is good? God is good. Only God is good. None else is good but God. You're not good. So unless God is good, wow, we're subject to the devil and to our own wickedness. He better be good. But sometimes you just wonder. Amen? Has anybody been tested at that? Kind of like tested like gold over and over again. Little children will get it too, because they'll love you right now, but when things start to happen and you don't come through, they throw a little fit. They don't like it. Come on, get back in line, world. You know, everybody start, you know, attending to me again. So don't spoil that baby. Teach her that life is a little rough at times. You know, but here's the thing is, why does God leave us in this world then? Why doesn't he just wipe out the devil and all the bad stuff and get us into the new world? Why? Well, he has his reasons, and we don't always know what they are, but there are reasons why grief and sorrow and sadness and pain is part of this world. He has his reasons why he hasn't ended it yet. If I were God, have you ever thought this? If I were God, I'd be a little better God than he is. Has anybody ever thought that? I have. I've thought, God, give me an hour. Just an hour. I want to clean things up a little bit. You are too slow. You are not at all consistent. I read your book and you're not doing it. I mean, I did everything right. I fasted. I prayed. I did all my part. You're not doing your part. Has anybody ever thought that of God? Just kind of correct the guy. Bump him off the throne for a few minutes. I'm not saying permanent. I'm just saying, give me a little bit of time here. Get a little vengeance on people that are bad and get some good things happening here. Is there any time we just want to take matters in your own hands and you just don't want to wait on God any longer? Is anybody here like me? I'm impatient sometimes. And I get ticked off quick. I just get ticked off at him. Margaret, are you patient? Or Are you like me? Oh, thank God. Thank God I have an ally. I have an ally. Praise God. That means a lot to me. Because I lose it. I just lose it at times. I'm just not that righteous. Not that righteous. Now in my spirit I am. I'm a righteous man in my spirit. Right here I have faith in God. Total faith in God. I know God will come through. Faith. I have total faith in God. I trust Him. I trust Him for the future. But in the present, I don't always trust Him. Is anybody like me? I trust Him in the future for my eternal life, but in the day-to-day operations, where is the guy at times? I would do it differently. And it makes me, it ticks me off. I get impatient and mad with Him. God, wouldn't this be a good time to do the way I'm thinking? I've thought that. I really have. I've thought, God, You are not paying attention right here. I've sent up several notes. You have not paid attention to one of them. You know, and this is about the last time I'm going to give You a chance. And then I'm going to get into a yelling thing. I'm going to get into a mad. I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to read my Bible for 5 days if You don't do this. You know, I threaten Him. Has anybody ever done that? All right, I'm going to frown for a week. Not going to be cheerful anymore. Has anybody ever done that? I'm just not going to go to church for a month. You know, you just do it. You just punish Him for not being good. You know He is good, but He's not looking it. Come on, I think I'm saying truth here. I am. I'm saying truth. All right. So the problem of Job was, how can you be a good guy and then suffer all this stuff and say God is good? It's easy. Because He is good. And you are righteous, but you can suffer. But don't worry about it. It's not permanent. It's not permanent. And it never touches the spirit. So the hedge that God builds around us is up here. There's no hedge below. The hedge is spiritual. It's a spiritual hedge. In other words, nobody can take your spiritual assurance. Blessed assurance. Okay, so here I have, you know, I'm smiley face up here. But down below, it's iffy. It's iffy. And I know this is not good theology. I'd get a bigger church if I'd not say this. But I think sometimes there's no psychological hedge and there's no physical hedge. So this hedge is often torn down. The hedge is removed. It's destroyed. It's displaced. It's not there. Hedge removed here at times. And only temporary, I know that. But golly, God, get with it. Put that hedge back up. I mean, you know, it's great when God hedges you in. I mean, Dallas in general has been hedged in. Dallas, Fort Worth, whoo, we are blessed out of our socks. Imagine living anywhere else in the world. They aren't hedged in like we are. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I've lived here for years, and I just feel so blessed. I don't want to be in Chicago where I grew up, and I don't want to be out in the East Coast where Peggy grew up. I don't like those places. They're dark and, you know, not religious and spiritual. I like this spiritual place right here. But we do have our sin. I mean, there's a lot of restaurants in town, but there's a lot of those other things, too. There's other places, naughty places. They got those, too, here. Anybody notice the hypocrisy of Dallas? It's got as many bars here as it's got restaurants. Hello. Did anybody notice that? And so that's just part of life. How can you have such a religious city and so many murders? And such a high divorce rate. I mean, Dallas, everybody's always on their third or fourth marriage. I don't want to ask a show of hands here, but, you know, it just like, yeah, tried that one out. That didn't work. Good. I'm on my fourth right now. You know, and it's like, you know, you just can't find a reliable man. Not in Dallas. You know? I mean, there's a lot of philandering. There's a lot of, you know, the people are not stable here. Has anybody noticed that besides me? Fort Worth is much better. I think we're only at 50% divorce. Here it's 60. You're 10% up. That's why we got the gas and you don't. We got gas wells everywhere, I'm telling you. We've already gotten a check for, you know, I mean, they're sending the money in already. Isn't that great? It's flourishing. It's right underneath the church. You know, it's great. Just come pour it in. I have Social Security plus gas now. Yeehaw! Anyway, I just think Dallas-Fort Worth is blessed. You know, there's some pain, yes, and there's some grief, yes, but, you know, basically we're okay. We're smiley face here. This is a great place to live. This is the place to live in the world, really. I mean, in all America, if you want to live somewhere, live in America, and you want to live somewhere in America that's great, Dallas-Fort Worth. It's got growth and go-go and optimism and, you know, everybody's, you know, doing well and, you know, no, there's no moss on us. Woohoo! And the future looks bright. The next 20 years, even with the, what do they call them, the baby boomers dying off in a couple years or retiring and, you know, they'll be out of the market. I mean, well, they will. They were under a lot of stress. But the whole economy is dependent on them. And they're all of a sudden retiring. We got another couple years, it's still going to be okay. But then that's going to happen. But you know what? The modalities here, the air, the rail, the, you know, the truck, all of that is so, this is going to be one of the great centers of the United States and of the world for transportation of goods. They're going to come into this area and go out from this area. A lot of processing and so on and so forth. It's a great area, distribution point for all of Mexico, for all of the United States and so on. There's some others, but this is going to be one of the big hubs. Already with Alliance and already with, you know, all the trucking companies. Ever driven around a little bit, you can see, man, there are trucking companies everywhere. Well, it's going to get better. In fact, North Dallas, north of Dallas, that whole area is all slated. It's already in place. You don't see it, but I'm just telling you, it's already there, all the way up to the border almost. That thing is just going to be alive with the economy. Everything is happening. So we're blessed. But you know what? Even though that temporary blessing, like with Job, it can go sour on you. All of a sudden, Al-Qaeda comes in and drives on the big corridor, and, you know, they can start to, you know, this could be a big, it could be bad. Bad things can happen too, following good things. I mean, wherever there's honey, there's going to be bees. As soon as people see what a good thing it is. China's now experiencing a rebirth, and so on. So they're looking for all our markets. They're 70% into the clothes, and pretty soon there'll be more. I mean, they're just going to take over. Cheap goods, because we're buyers of cheap goods. And cheap labor from Mexico, and cheap, cheap, cheap. You know, we're into, you know, lots of money, big excess, but we'll fritter it away. We'll fritter it away. Buy the big homes and be, you know, completely mortgaged to the hilt. And a bit bigger one and get a bigger one. Yee-hoo! Living it up. You know, instead of the old trailer thing with the bullhorns on the front, you know, it's good. You know, we're losing it, you see, because we've forgotten God. We'll forget God. Pretty soon we won't even need the guy. We'll be doing so well on earth. But God wants to remind us of something. He may have a comeuppance for us. Amen? Oh, I got to quit now. I ain't even got into it. Peg, don't leave. That's it. Sit down. All right. When she sits, that means I'm all right. I can keep going. All right, here's 26. It's only 14 verses. I'll read it quickly. But Job answered and said, how hast you helped him that's without power? In other words, he's talking to his friends, who aren't good friends at all, who are bawling him out for being sick and so on and so forth. How are you helping me, he's saying. How are you saving with your arm somebody that hasn't got any strength right now? I'm in trouble. How are you helping? What good is all this theology that you're spewing out? Have you counseled him that has no wisdom? Okay, I'm a fool, maybe. But are you giving good counsel? Just saying, you know, repent, repent, repent. I have nothing to repent. I'm not going to. You know, how many know you're not going to be saved by your works? Don't make an effort. Let's say something's falling apart in your life. Don't make any big changes. That's the worst thing you can do when things start falling apart is get remarried or buy a car or get a new business or change your house or something. Don't make big decisions. When things go bad, just hold. It's hard not to. I'm telling you, it's hard not to. Just don't make those major decisions right now. Yeah, I think I'm just going to get a new husband. That's cool, but don't right now. Don't. Stick with the jerk. Stick with the bad guy. Just stay. Have patience. Because it's okay. God, get with God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Just get right with God first. And not, I don't mean do something. I mean let Him do something. Get another view of God as He's a good God. He's on your side. Even though there's pain, even though there's grief, that's okay. He's a good God. He's good. He is so good. He's got a spiritual hedge around you. And then eventually it'll work out. It'll work out. I tell you, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. But just give a little patience. It's just temporary. Pain and suffering and sorrow, it's temporary. It's temporary. And Jesus learned obedience for it. He learned obedience. He learned it through what He suffered. Job said, hey, it's God testing me like gold. I know what this is all about. He's testing me. He just put me temporarily through this and testing me. I just wish, I think I'm going to flunk this test, so I wish He'd kill me. Because I think I'm going to flunk. Anybody ever thought that? It's too much, God. You said You'd never tempt me beyond my strength. I'm beyond it. I mean, according to me. And yeah, according to you, you're beyond it, but you're not. You got plenty of strength left. No, I don't. Ever. You know, but that's just you, play acting. God knows you have plenty of strength. You are strong. How many know that you are strong? Even when you're pretending like you're weak.
I've had it. It's too much.
You're just play acting. You are strong. I'm telling you, just that little play acting you did shows how strong you are. That shows you are an arrogant, powerful person.
God, I mean it. I've had it. Oh, okay. All right. Let go.
That's what you do before, you got plenty of strength left. I do. I am strong. Are you strong, Bill? I'm strong. I don't even know if God's big enough to take me. I am so arrogant, so powerful, so strong. Is anybody else like me? I mean, I am a clever person. I am a survivor. I will come up with something. I'm very creative. I'm a resourceful person. Is anybody else resourceful like me? I'll say things, it'll just come out of my mouth no matter what, but I'm just being resourceful. I'll test Peggy out and so on and so forth. I'll just say wild things. I'm so, just testing things out, see what the market will bear. Hello! Is there anything else, anyone like that? Yes, you are like me. It's pitiful, it's awful, but you are like me. It's awful. All right, so here I am. I'm suffering all this, but Job believes his Redeemer lives. To whom has you have uttered words, but where's the spirit in those words? This is just human understanding. I hate what you're saying to me because it's just human. Dead things are formed from under the waters. That doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd change that verse right there. There's something wrong with that scripture right there. There's no dead things forming under the waters. But actually, the Hebrew doesn't say that, but I won't go into it. But what it's saying is, don't expect life from everywhere. Don't expect things to look perfect from everywhere. Hell is naked before Him, God, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over the empty place, and He hangs the earth on nothing. This is God. So He bindeth up the waters in His thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. You're still wondering about the dead things under the water? Okay, I'll move on. He holds back the face of His throne. In other words, don't think God, I've told you before, God is inscrutable, unknowable. You can't figure Him. Don't think with your pea brain you're going to figure out how this is somehow working out for your good. You cannot figure it. Has anybody figured that you can't figure that? Have you figured that? Because that's important to figure, that you can. God is God. You're not. You don't know what's going on or why it is. But I'll tell you something. He said, it's all for your good. All things are working for your good. Everything is working for your good. He's just purifying you. He's teaching you. He's blessing you. Somehow it's going to work out good. Well, Job has that. Job kind of gets that. He hadn't worked out the details yet, because he's going through this little fire right now. And when you're in the fire, it's never fun. It's never fun when you're in the fire. When you're in the fire, it is not a joy. But God knows that. God's not surprised you gripe and complain and so on. If it was for good works, you just lost them. If you're going to be saved by good works, you just lost them. God, and you just swear at them sometimes. You just curse them out. And it's not right. But that doesn't come from my heart. That comes from my soul. See, when I curse God out, that's from here. I'm saying it with my mouth, but it's coming out of here. but not in my heart. In my heart, I love him. I know I'm wrong. But sometimes I say things that are wrong and I know it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? I mean, you just said it, but you didn't mean it. But you don't want to take it back because you're still mad. But you know it's not right. You know it's not right. You know it's not right. I've done that with Peggy sometimes. I'll say something and I know it's wrong, but I'm saying it anyway. And I'll just say it. And then she'll say, you don't mean that. I do. And I'll just stick right with it. And I'm just mad in that moment. I'm ticked off because she won't bend. She won't bend. You guys don't know how stubborn she is. You do not know. She is unbendable, stubborn, unbreakable. I am innocent, pure, and right, and wise, and good. I know I'm doing wrong by swearing at her, whatever I'm doing, but I don't care. She deserves every bit of it. Is anybody else like that? That is so pathetic, so poor. And she'd say something like, I wish the church could see you now, right here. And, you know, probably one of these days she'll have a recording or a camera or something. But don't believe a word of it. It's just play acting. Is anybody else like that? It's bad. There are just things I've said and done and so on. They're just poor, bad, evil, nasty. But hey, thanks be unto God. That's not from my heart. And I'll have to come back, you know, in a day or two or a month or a year later or something and say I'm sorry. No, I do it. I do it rather quickly. She'd tell you that. I'm pretty quick about saying, okay, I was stupid. I was wrong. I was evil. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, they went in anyway. Those words went in. And she can recall them in her heated moments. She can recall, you said the other day. And then she's got that nasty memory. I don't remember much. She'll say, well, you know, the other day you did thus and so. I don't remember. I don't remember. Well, you said such and so. I don't think I did. I don't say that. Yes, you did. And you said it with a rotten attitude, too. I didn't. I think I was trying to help you. No, you weren't. And so we'll have those kind of discussions. Anybody else like human like me? It's bad, but it's human. I'm saying all that so that you don't get a divorce just simply because you're a jerk. Just simply because you're a jerk. And you're married to a jerk, which makes you even a double jerk because you married that person. It's your own fault. How smart are you? Oh, God is good. Hey, all things work together for your good. God loves you. No matter what. I don't care how things appear. God is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against? There's nobody against you. He never fails. No one will ever succeed. Oh, yes, they can succeed here and here, but only with his permission, but they'll never succeed here. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that on the latter day he will stand upon the earth and he will declare my vindication, my righteousness, by faith. It's not by works. It's by faith, because I believe that he was good and that he would keep his promises. That's Job. That's Job. It's just kind of being worked out. He's getting all that stuff out of his system. It's getting it refined like a fire, and it's happening to all of us. He hath compassed the waters with bounds. In other words, there are seashores, and the water doesn't go over them. Until the day and the night come to an end. In other words, don't ever think the world will just be flooded. It won't. He's already said it wouldn't. The pillars of heaven tremble. They're astonished at his reproof. He divides the sea with his power. You know, he can make you go through and dry them up whenever he wants. And by his understanding, he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit, he hath garnished the heavens. His hands hath formed the crooked serpent. In other words, Leviathan, that evil serpent of the sea. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? So here's Job, good theology here, even though he's right now griping and complaining about his pain and his suffering. Here's Job. He's actually saying, you know what? I know God can do anything and will do anything, and I know he's on my side. That's great. And Job will come out of this later. We haven't gotten to that part yet. He'll come out twice as rich, beautiful children again, all of his health restored. He'll have everything he had twice as much as before. Why? Because he's righteous. Just being, all that's happening to you is you're just being perfected. I'm helping God here. I'm helping to purify you. Can you feel it? You all appreciate it? I'm a wonderful pastor helping you to get you to stop complaining and griping about your pains and your griefs and begin to just rejoice no matter what. I'll tell you, you'll thank me someday. Pastor, I really thank you for sticking with it all those years. You were a wonderful fellow. You know, stuff like that. And you can mention that to God later, you know. Pastor Jim is so faithful. So on. Because I know right now a lot of people hate it. They don't like it. You know, preach on something positive. No, I'm going to say negative. Because it's good for you. So actually benefit and bless you. You need this. I'm glad you came today. Because you needed a good whooping. You needed a good, you know, talking to. Why? Because you're liable to think that pain and grief is permanent and that it's designed against you because you're bad. No, it's actually not. It's designed against you because you're righteous. Because you're righteous, God lets those things happen so that you can prove to the world, hey, I still say God is good. And the wicked then can take notice of that rather than think, hey, wickedness pays and righteousness doesn't. When you go through it, make sure you rejoice and don't give up hope. Put a smile on your face. Say, zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Everything's going my way. How many have that attitude? No matter what comes up, I'm not scared of it. I've already made plans for it, and if I haven't, God has. So I'm not worried about it. You know, the rest of my life's going to be perfect. And you think that? Yeah. It can't go, you know, I don't care what you've done or haven't done. God's on your side. And as long as you cling to that, and you know that you have a Redeemer that someday will vindicate you, maybe at the latter day, and you won't see all of it here, but you'll see it in the latter day. You won't see it all here. You're not going to see how, you know, how you hung in there at times. It's like, I want to give up. No, don't. I want to. He'll forgive me. Yes, 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 he'll forgive you. But it's not a matter of forgiveness. It's a matter of growing you up and maturing you. It isn't circumstances that's your problem. It's you yourself haven't found out how good God is, even in the midst of the problems. God is good. You know, a lot of you worship God when things are going well, but you don't when they're not. No, no, keep going, keep going. Just get up and give a testimony, even if you don't have anything to say. I just want to give a testimony that everything is great, and you know it's not. Just don't mention the part that it's not. Don't go into a big deal about, well, let me explain, you know. How. Let's just hear how great God is. You say, well, Pastor, should we hide our head in the sand? No, you don't have to hide your head in the sand, but we don't need a sand pile either. We don't need to see all the troubles in your life. Let's just hear how great God is. I got my troubles. That's enough on that. But God. But God. But God. Everything's going my way. Amen? That'll be great. Then you'll have heaven on earth. You'll have, you know, a happy family. You'll have everything. You'll have it. You'll have it. You'll have it. It's just a momentary test. It's a momentary test. He's testing you to see if you'll rejoice. Endure. Don't pay attention to it. Turn your back on your problems. Just look into the face of Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. How many are learning that? I'm not saying you've learned it. I'm just saying you're learning. You're going through the fire right now. You're going through the furnace right now. You're just learning. Hey, every little problem that comes up, forget it. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. God will get you through. Not only that, everything's actually, it's just you're investing in something that's going to pay off bigger than even you can imagine. Don't worry about it. Just hang in there. Stay in there. God is good all the time. You know, just, he never stops being good. All right, let's have a testimony. Somebody has a testimony. Pastor Jim, this message totally transformed my life. I will now be happy from this moment on. Yes?
I have a testimony that just recently happened to me this week. I've been, and he showed me how I've been living in fear of man.
Yes.
They were asking me, because they exercise, and I used to exercise a lot, and they said, well, you've been exercising, haven't you? And I said, yeah, and then the Holy Spirit was just like, you were 3 weeks ago, every morning, I was at the gym at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But he had been talking to me and telling me, how do you have time, because I was getting up at 4, doing chores, then going to work out, getting back home, going to work. And how do you, why do you have time to go to the gym but you don't have time for me in the morning? And so it would have been easier for me to say, no, you know, yeah, I've been going and just leave it at that. But he was just telling me, Susan, you told me the truth that, yeah, you were, but go ahead and speak it all. So I said, I was, but about 3 weeks ago, I haven't been. I've been getting up the same time, but I've been doing other things. And so one of them said, well, so what have you been doing? I said, well, I said, Lord has been telling me I need to spend time with him instead of going to the gym, so I've been doing his word every morning. And then that just opened up a whole conversation. And it ended up that one gentleman says that he is agnostic, and the other one I knew is a Christian, as we've talked before. And that just so blessed me, because I had prayed with him to give me the courage to be bold for you. And he let me do it. Finally, he let me do it. And I was just praising him. I was so blessed.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
It's powerful.
Yeah. And he showed me, even this morning, he showed me, then this is a vision that he gave me some time ago, and he showed me this morning that, you know, don't let my life that's living in you, don't keep it under a bushel, stay on that lampstand for all to see you. And if you read my word, if it's closed,
yeah,
the light in there can't get out. If you read my word, I'm shining on you. Because I kept singing this song this morning, and it kept coming back to me, be a reflection of him. And so when I open up his word, that light is just shining, it's a reflection of me. And I'm like, that's what you're having me do. And I'm just so blessed.
Woo-hoo! It's powerful. It's powerful, Susan. Thank you for sharing that. It's powerful. Powerful. Yahoo! God is good. God is good. He's faithful. He's faithful. These testimonies keep us going. You got to hear, even if you're not, you know, seeing it, somebody else might be. You got to hear that God is good. He is faithful. It can be you. Start to rejoice. Start to obey in faith. And pretty soon you'll see. Pretty soon you'll see. It's just a test. It's just a test. You know he's good in your heart. Get it out in your soul. Get it out in your physical life. All right. God is great. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you and give you his peace. Peace, that inner peace, that spiritual peace. The peace that this world can't give. It only comes from God. That kind of peace. That's an inner knowing, spiritual hedge. Thank you, Lord, that everything's going our way. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father. Amen and amen. All right, worship the Lord. Yahoo! Yahoo! Amen. Hey, James.